It lasts for like 20 hours.
Oh my gosh.
And you can kind of just put it here and then you just talk.
Oh. Okay, I'll start over again. We have four bays. Each bay can hold two processors. So we have a total of eight processors. It's controlled by another processor, the ninth. And the ninth processor sends out a communication signal on a parallel bus to all the processors with a code for each one of them that says, send me your data or I'm sending you your data. And that one then stores whatever you're sending it. The rest of them keep on processing on their previous data. When the data is complete on any of the eight processors, they send a signal back which says, I'm done with their code, their processor code, and then the control processor downloads that data on that parallel bus. So by controlling those control words and the ins and outs of the data, you can load and unload each of the machines. And they all have their own code within each machine. Mm-hmm. Of course, you can load that too when you're setting up a situation. And one of the best uses that we found was for finite element analysis, where you're designing physical parts, machine parts, or in this case was the turbine blades, where you have, you're calculating stress within the components. And you break that down into, in this case, into eight separate elements or areas of the stress, each one computing stress within itself. And then the final pass, you go and equalize, you call it anneal connections between
right.
all the eight mm-hmm. units. And so that settles, that's an iterative process. It settles down when it reaches a stable, unchanging point. Never really unchanges, but it gets close to it.
Yeah.
Then you dump the whole data down and display it on a big screen. And that's the picture of the stress or else heat in some physical device.
So who was it built for? And
that was done for designing turbine blades originally for Rolls-Royce in Bristol.
So this machine was built for that, or
yeah,
okay, for the Rolls-Royce engine,
yeah,
jet engine.
We didn't actually send it to Bristol. We took a PC with us to Bristol, which demonstrated what we were going to do, and then using this design, we created a two-board PC multiprocessor using the same concepts to do the actual work in their lab.
So what year was this project?
See, that was about early 1990. Before that, where originally was used, before that was an image processor, and we divided an image up into eight separate bars, and we computed. We went through pixel algorithms to
yep.
refine the image or to sharpen the image, all that kind of stuff, refocus it and stuff like that, and then combine the eight bars, again by annealing the barrier between the two of them until it zeroed. Again, it's an iterative process. When you're all done, you dump it out on a very large screen system. We had a 2,000 by 6,000 screen
wow.
that we put it on.
So this machine was built and then used for the image process and then the
first.
Annealing first.
Yeah, yeah.
So was it built before 1990 to do that image?
Yeah, that was about 1980.
Wow, so the
1986 or somewhere in that area,
so
as
this,
I recall.
Can you call this the S100 multiprocessor?
Yeah.
And it saw...
S100 was real popular at that time.
Yeah, it was still popular despite yeah. The PC and the...
So this, as the PC came in and we could have multiprocessing by multiple boards in the PC,
right.
We were able to use this to generate the algorithms and stuff to do this where everything was accessible
yep.
and could be adjusted and so forth. And then once we had the algorithms adjusted, then we put them into MS MASM code and loaded it into PC processors.
So in a way, this was a test. This is a machine allowing
you. Bed.
Is a test bed using S100 boards, using the older kit hobby technology
mm-hmm.
to create designs for multiprocessing
yeah.
boards for the next generation.
That was a big day for multiprocessing. The government was spending a lot of money on it. Saxby Computers and people like that were doing similar things to this. For the Air Force and all those people. And that's when the thinking machine got started. And
yeah,
all that,
yeah.
They really
I'm still
a lot
trying
of
to get one of those,
yeah.
A CM2.
Yeah.
So in a way, I guess the CPUs were not strong enough to do certain tasks, so that the idea of multiprocessing.
Yeah, well, 68,000 was the processor, and it was a really fast processor at its time.
Yeah.
But as the PC became more faster and faster and faster with Intel's efforts, we could not keep up with the 68,000.
Yeah.
Against the processors, you know, the Intel processors
yeah,
were using in the PC version of this.
Wow, so this sort of was outstripped, it was outrun. So this was 68,000 based, and some of these boards in mm-hmm. the bottom here are the original.
Yeah, 68,000 boards probably there.
Yeah.
Or else it's an 8086, I don't remember now. We also had some that used the Z80.
Okay, so you could actually pop in two processor boards
yeah,
per bay.
You could put Z80 boards in here, or 8080 boards in there.
Or 68,000 boards.
Yeah, you could even put 6,800 boards in some of the early stuff.
So you had a terminator on the end of each of
right,
the bays,
right.
And then you'd have your memory and then two processor boards?
Yeah.
Or one to two processor boards?
Yeah. You'd have two terminators, one for each processor. And then the reason for the terminator is you had bad echoes on the S100 bus. It was never designed for this sort of thing originally.
Right, right.
And these echoes would give you multiple hits, you might say, of data pulses.
Yeah.
Which can really raise hell.
It's like a resonance inside a bus
yeah,
of this
so
length.
These are called active terminators, and
yes.
they actually create the same capacity and loading as you would expect for an infinite line.
Yeah. Yeah.
And once you adjust them, that's pretty solid. They do also have passive terminators, which is resistive, and they work fairly well, but nothing like a dynamic one.
So this is about 100 boards, 100 S100 boards all working.
I guess so. I think there are 24 of these per day.
24, so it's more than that, 120. That's so what's
there's
what,
far more slots than we needed for most things.
Did you develop it, the applications in assembler for it? Or?
Yeah. Right. And what we would do is we'd develop it with C, or else a high-level language, and then we recompile it and then take the assembly code out of that and tinker with the assembly code
right.
that came out of the
right.
C compiler
then build.
And make it do things better and faster.
Now, what disk storage were you using?
We were using the big disks, the 8-inch drives, Xerox originally.
Oh, the Xerox
design.
8-inch drives.
Yeah, they were separate.
Yeah, I've got several of those. So
yeah.
Should I put those Xerox drives next to this? Would that make it
yeah,
more
right.
authentic?
I think we had one right in here, which had two. Yeah, it was. It did fit right in here. Two 8-inch drives. Or
wow,
eight or
right.
9-inch.
So, yeah, because I had those.
They were made by CompuPro.
Yeah, by Godbout
yeah,
himself.
Right.
Yeah,
that's what sat in here.
We just got a CompuPro system, a big one.
Yeah, that was a pretty nice setup. Guys, I look at those huge disks, and it's amazing how little you get on those big disks.
800K, I think.
Compared to CD-ROMs and things.
So basically, this was a lot like a Cray 1 in that you had...
Well, no, a Cray is...
Is a vector machine.
Yeah, and it's based on very high speeds of one processor.
Right.
And is tuned for unbelievable speeds.
But in a sense, you still had to feed...
But a multiprocessor is different from
is
a Cray.
Is it different from a Cray? But you had to feed the machine and then get the result.
Mm-hmm.
So in a,
you had to load it and unload it.
Load it. So in a sense, it's a lot like the traditional...
It's a lot like people.
Yeah.
You know, during the war, when they had...
the ladies.
The ladies with the desk calculators, or not desk, you know, hand calculators, the guy that was running the show would
Dick
get all the data together, and they'd pass them out to the girls, and they'd run the things and put the results in the pads, bring the pads back, and he would combine them all in some magic way and come up with an answer.
Richard Feynman wrote that he was going up and down the line error-checking the ladies, and he would pull one of these pads out and find an error, and they would all stand up and say, well, why don't you sit here and do all of them?
You're so hot.
You're so good. You're so hot.
But there's only one of him.
It's only one of him, and the ladies were called computers. Remember that? And
yeah, with an O-R instead of an E-R.
Computers, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first pipelined
That's
processing
right. That's
system.
That's where it all got started.
So this is kind of in the lineage of that.
Yeah, it's just sort of a mechanization of the old methods used by the British during the war.
But the interesting thing about it is the use of S-100, because that's...
Yeah, well, they were easily available, and they were cheap. And, you know, you can't beat the 68,000. It was the best processor at the time. So the parameters were correct.
Now, what do you think this system cost to build? It's hard to estimate.
You'd have to get the price list out for CompuPro. They were all CompuPro boards.
It was all CompuPro.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we have a CompuPro 816 that was just donated.
Uh-huh.
So I believe it's an extra
CompuPro
boards.
Every one of them was more or less a different price, but as I remember, the 68,000 was the most expensive board, but I can't remember what they went for now.
You probably built this under $50,000.
Could it be, I guess. I never pay attention to that. I only worry about whether it works. Somebody else pays the bill.
Did you have a nickname for this thing? Or
uh-uh.
Is this called the multiprocessor?
Yeah, that's just what we call it.
And there was only one name.
Test bed.
Test bed. And where...
Multiprocessor test bed.
Where did you put it together?
It was done in Scotts Valley.
Scotts Valley?
Mm-hmm. 1 Victor Square.
And the company that was sort of surrounding this?
It's defunct now.
What was the name of
it? Azure.
Azure, just like on the boards here, Azure Incorporated.
And they were making the big displays. But they had to have electronics to drive them.
So this was a way to sell
This was a vertical organization where you did everything from the ground up.
Yeah.
You just didn't sell displays, bare displays. Most of those displays were used in surveillance and stuff like that, where you had to assemble lots of images and slip them around and change the perspectives and so forth so they would fit together.
So it made sense for them to sponsor this kind of a project to drive a big, expensive, high-res display.
Mm-hmm.
It just justified it.
Yeah.
And if they had a client.
It wouldn't be any point to without it, because... To see the picture, you have to be able to assemble, like in the case of surveillance. So in those days, you couldn't say it, but it was the NRO, National Office of Recovery Office, which does the satellite imaging. They had to line these things up, and some of them were twisted because of the angle of the camera.
You
had to untwist them and put them together, and that's all a mathematical operation.
It's all mathematical.
Yeah.
So were you working for Azure, or were you...
Yeah.
Were you...
It's one of the founders of Azure.
You were one of the founders, okay. And Azure ceased to exist early 90s?
It's still in existence as a corporation, but it doesn't do this kind of work anymore.
They
build embedded processor designs for the Internet.
Yeah, I'm collecting Sigma Designs displays and still haven't found a driver board for that. But this is really quite a story. I'm glad it didn't end up in the Watsonville Buena Vista landfill.
Yeah, right. That's where it'd be. You know, this is something that probably will never happen again. This immense amount of money that poured into Santa Clara Valley for a specific purpose, even though it didn't seem like it to individuals like
right,
me,
right.
for a specific goal, probably will never happen again. If it happens, it'll probably be the biological bubble.
Yeah. And even that, they're saying
that's... I'm not interested in that at all.
Yeah, even that, they're saying that doesn't employ a lot of people, so it doesn't have a big impact.
That's right. This employed an enormous number of highly skilled people.
Yeah, I keep running into people who haven't found work in years, and the bloom may be off the rose.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, the DigiBarn project, I'm trying to document
this. It can never be reconstituted.
Yeah.
People like me wouldn't ever go back and work like that again.
Yeah, to do...
Even if I were completely up to date, I'm pretty far up to date, especially about embedded processors, but nevertheless, they can do it in Pakistan much cheaper.
Yeah, and they've got smart people there.
That's right. Some of the smartest people I ever had working for me were Indians.
Indians, yeah. Well, thank you for sharing the story and the artifact. They finally got it, and it will... We will fill it up with S100 boards, and I'll try to make sure they're CompuPro boards. because I do have
that
a bunch.
That would be best, but it's hard to tell whose boards they are once you put them in there.
Yeah, I do have quite a bunch of CompuPro boards, and I'll look for CompuPro.
I don't think anybody else made them in the quantity and the variety that CompuPro did.
Yeah, they were, and the CompuPro 816 system is a very massive system.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, they were sort of the cumulation of all their effort when they built that.
Yeah, that I guess that was the 816.
I did have one of those at one time. We borrowed one from them and programmed it for a while to see if it would help us, and then it wasn't fast enough.
That's interesting. Well, I may put this next to the CompuPro 816. So I have the Wise 50, the CompuPro 86, and the Xerox 8-inch drives. I'll be pretty... That's a mule across the road there.
Yeah, but not a mule. You know how old that dog, that guy is? He must be 35 years old.
I wonder